Greetings once again this evening in the name of the one who is indeed the Rose of Sharon. And the rest of that verse in the Song of Solomon says he's also the lily of the valleys. And so that tonight is so meaningful. And it has really been a blessing to be here and sing these songs together with you and hear the devotional meditation that was shared that in many ways has a connection with what we're thinking of as a message for this evening, and we might see that a little later on. And so it is, again, a blessing to be together in the name of the Lord. And to think of the songs we sang, we hope you found the secret. It's, you know, knowing Jesus and having Him in your heart and being a new creation. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit and those that in essence, know Him and walk with Him. And for that, we're thankful this evening. The brother in the prayer meeting, Brother Troyer, I'm sorry I don't remember your first name, reminded us of the importance of being thankful tonight in prayer meeting. And so the first verse we want to look at this evening says something about thanks and being thankful. And so as a text for the message this evening, we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and we'd like to notice verses 14 through 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. And again, we count it a privilege of the Lord to be able to be together. Brother Linus Troyer last evening was mentioning something about his daughter, Grace, living in Greece, and the things they go through there, and it's so true. We think of things that have happened in history and many people today, what they go through and not being able to express their faith in Jesus as we can. And here we can come together in this way. So may the Lord be pleased to bless our gathering together this evening. It says, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing, but where two or three are gathered in His name, there is He in their midst. And so may He bless tonight this message for His glory and you're good, our good together. Hear the Bible. In the Bible we read these words. It says, now thanks be unto God. And we pause a moment and we desire to do that, to give the Lord thanks. This says, now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. And maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And we can also break out this evening and say with the writer, and who is sufficient for these things? We find in verse 5 of the next chapter, it tells us that our sufficiency is of God. We'd like to title the message this evening, Victorious Christian Living. And it's such an important subject. Is there a way to be a victorious Christian in the world we're living in 2019? Or did the Lord somehow fail to provide for His children because of, you know, all the corruption and evil that's in this world? We believe there is a way to be victorious and to be a victorious Christian. This message tonight is certainly not all inclusive. It's just, it kind of looks at one particular point that we think of as it relates to being a victorious Christian in the world we live in today. And so we look at that this evening and we notice these three words, or this one word rather, even to triumph in Christ. God always causeth us to triumph in Christ, not in our own strength or by our own means, but in Christ we triumph. The word triumph is an interesting word. You do not triumph without there being a fight, a conquest, something to overcome. It's not something we just coast downhill and triumph in something that we're facing. To triumph means there was a battle. There was something that was going on. And then there was a victory. And that is what we would desire to endeavor to express this evening in a way that we can grab a hold of and want and desire and to be victorious Christians. Because look at what happens. Look at what God is looking for. Look at what you are. If you are a person that's living a victorious Christian life, it is amazing that God would use you. You are like a sweet savor of Christ unto God when you're triumphing in Christ. And God is pleased with the aroma, with what He sees in your life as a victorious Christian. And He even uses you to be a witness. Your presence as a victorious Christian makes a difference in Holmes County, Ohio. And you might be a youth here tonight and feel you're quite insignificant, but your life is giving an aroma of either the presence of the Lord and something to His glory, or the opposite of that. But the Lord, your presence makes a difference. And so, even where people are going and coming and many things happening, may your presence, and as a victorious Christian, your presence does make a difference. You're a sweet savor of Christ unto God. And you are, as according to this scripture, you know, you give off an aroma, as it were. There is something about you that, you know, people can sense who you are. It reminds me, I mean, just now I think about it, I hadn't planned to share this, but I remember us being in the Atlanta airport, and we were waiting for someone to come to the airport, and there was a lady that came up the elevator, had just gotten off a plane. She was a foreigner, and out of however all many people were there, she came straight to us with some questions, wanted to know what she could do, how she could do, how she could get to where she was going. And we would pray or trust or hope that it was something she sensed, it was someone she could trust, or and just those kinds of things. That's what God calls you to do. And as you live a life of victory in Christ, you will be an encouragement and blessing to the people of God around you, according to this scripture. And on the other hand, your life will be a witness and even bring conviction to people that are not walking with the Lord. Your life will remind them of the Lord. And it is understandable why the writer would just burst out and say, who is sufficient for these things? Our sufficiency is of God. Victorious Christian living. We'd like to consider tonight three subjects under that heading, and there could be so many. It is certainly not all inclusive, but it is one of those points tonight. We want to look at something that we read in three of the four Gospels. We want to think about new wine in new bottles. And really, I wish someone else would teach me all that that might mean. But there are some things there that I'd like to, we want to notice. New wine and new bottles. Number two, a victorious Christian needs to consider the reality of the unseen. I think Brother Paul, the other evening, our first evening together, if I'm not mistaken, he used that scripture in Hebrews where it says how that they saw Him who is unseen, who is invisible. We need that in our life to be a victorious Christian. And then number three is to overcome our enemy. Just three points there to consider. Number one, we think of the importance of new wine and new bottles. What does it mean? I would open myself for a correction on any thoughts I share in relation to that tonight. But some thoughts that I have to share, I've even drawn from others. I think Brother Gary Miller has shared some thoughts in a book that have helped me too, but it is a phrase that has kind of intrigued me or grabbed my attention for some time. We find in Matthew 9, verse 17, these words, new wine in new bottles. Mark 2:22, new wine must be put into new bottles. In Luke 5:38, new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. A beautiful picture and something here that we need to think about and consider. And so I would want to go back a little to what we were thinking of yesterday morning. Remember the account of the Good Samaritan coming to the person laying beside the road and pouring in wine and oil. And I'd like to think of this new wine as connecting that with the account of the Good Samaritan pouring in the oil and the wine, of that being a picture of new birth and new life. Tonight we sang something about a song, Sing to the Lord a Brand New Song. There are many times in the Bible we find the word new. I think it's over 100 times. And especially in the New Testament, we think of how that word is used. And we think tonight of the importance of new life and new birth. And all of what God provides for us in making it possible for us to be a victorious Christian. So without that new wine and new birth and new life, it's not possible. That is a part of what I think of as the new wine. And then we have new bottles. And what is that talking about? And again, I'd love to be taught further. But I think of it, again, we think of that person that the Good Samaritan took. He didn't just let him out there on the road where anything, you know, it didn't matter where he went or what he did. He took him to an inn. And at that inn was a structure. It was something with, there was something there. It was a place to be on the inside. It was like a building. And applying that spiritually, it's something with matter, with structure. And I really like the way Brother Gary Miller has brought this out. The new wine is a type of, like, thinking of the body, using our bodies as an analogy of explaining this or thinking of this. The new wine being like muscle, the muscles of our body, and the new bottle being like the bones of our body, and how important both of them are. What would just a lump of muscle be without some structure? And what would just a pile of bones be without muscle? And even as I move my hands and my arms, it's actually as a result of both. And it is like a picture of new wine and new bottles, spiritual life that's structured and put together in a way that God is honored. And it can result in victorious Christian living. We sang tonight. Now, how would it be if Brother Mark would have said, well, we hope everyone here tonight, as an adult at least, you're a born-again Christian, you have new life in your heart, the new birth. Just sing. Just sing. Just sing. Just make a joyful noise to the Lord, wherever you are, each person individually. And you know, that's okay. But how much more meaningful it was. How we were inspired and blessed to have some structure. To have a new bottle, so to speak, to put that new wine in and to sing that new song together unto the Lord. It is very, very meaningful. And this relates to me, at least in my heart, in my simple little way of understanding, it relates to family life, to church life, and the thought of, should we have some structure in church life? Should there be brotherhood agreements? Should we take the scriptures and look at these biblical principles and make application to them for our church, for this place and time? Should we do that, or should we just say, everybody just do however you think you should do? And we could, you know, to me, I can understand it if I would say in our homes, in our families. How many of you as fathers here tonight, when you have teenagers that experience new life in Christ. Let's say all your teenagers have experienced new birth and new life. They're Christians. They have the Holy Spirit within. We believe they do. They have the Bible, the Word of God. But they're not perfect, are they? Well, how many of you fathers, we fathers, I'm also a father, how many of us would tell our children, just look, you're a Christian now. You have the Word of God. You have the Holy Spirit. So you just, you know, however you think to do it is okay. Whatever, however you want to do, you just follow that direction. And to me, we wouldn't do that. And that to me is also a picture. It's more beautiful when a family has a new bottle, some structure there to put that new life in. You come together with family devotions. Now, it is very sad if children have to sit for family devotions and it's just the same old thing. It's been for 10 years and you just kneel down and you just pray this same prayer they've heard every day for 10 years. And that's exaggerating, but you know what I mean. If it's just something legalistic and just something that's just cold, it's just a ritual you go through, that's not new life. That's not the new wine. The new wine is, it's a daddy, there's something new there this morning. There's something fresh in his heart. He has something to say. Like, I think we've heard where we've been staying, someone practicing new songs and singing, and it's something, you know, even spontaneous. New wine is spontaneous. It's real. It's fresh. It's living. And those new bottles are something that's structured for this particular place and time in a way that's conducive to the glory of God. Now, I don't know if that can hit any kind of chord in your heart or not. To me, it helps. In the singing tonight, we followed scale, we followed notes, and that's just a picture of, but thankfully, you know, Brother Mark didn't say, now look, there's only one way we're going to sing this song, it has to be just some certain way it's been done for 10 years and we won't change it. So, to me at least, that's new wine in new bottles, one little example of it that is meaningful, at least to me, as it relates to home life, church life, and victorious Christian living. Tonight, I believe God was glorified when there was like new wine and new bottles in the way we sang the song. There was a new song. There was a song from our heart could be sung. It was sung within the structure of new bottles. It is at least a way that it means something to me. And so now, thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. Another thing that is so very important in our lives is to be a victorious Christian. I believe we need to have a good concept of the reality of the unseen. Who is going to choose to live this life of discipleship without it? If we're just going by the five senses, you know, what we can hear, what we see, what we taste, what we smell, what we touch, too many times that affects our decisions. And that's what Brother Javen touched on this evening. We are human. Those are things that are real. And it's such a blessing that we can touch and feel and taste. But the Christian, to be a victorious Christian, we need to have a very real concept of the reality of what we can't see, touch, feel, hear physically in this life. To bring out that point, I use this. The other evening, Brother Paul said something about sometimes sharing about our family or something. Now, this isn't an exposition of that. But on this picture I want to show on the screen, you will see, Lord willing, two of our now 17 grandchildren. There was a set of twins born yesterday, thankfully. But this is something that I had used at home. I had taken to church and used something that they are holding here. We had cucumbers in the garden this year. And there was one special kind. We had several kinds that were your normal kinds, but there was one special kind of cucumber that, you know, those plants raised the largest cucumbers I've ever seen. That one was 33.5 inches long, 14.5 inches in diameter. A huge cucumber. That's two of our grandchildren, Abe and Beulah Dyke's children, our daughter Beulah. I don't know if Dave Ropp is here this evening, but Dave and Abe know each other well from Canada and good friends. Well, this is Shania and Donnie here holding that cucumber. I took that cucumber to church at home in a message there. The whole message was on the reality of the unseen. And I just endeavored to use that there. You know, that cucumber, it's huge, and we could be all amazed at the size and be so involved in thinking about, you know, what you can touch there and what you could, you know, maybe even smell it and use the five senses. But what's important? What is the most important thing about that cucumber? It, of course, is the unseen. It's what you do not see. I mean, how much good would those peelings do us? And that's all we can see on that picture. You see those peelings, and we think of how much more there is that you do not see. But we see a part of it, and that is simply something to help us think a little bit about the reality of the unseen. It is, I think, very important. We find it through the Word of God. We're reminded of the reality of what we do not see. We think of where Jesus speaking to Nathanael, and he said something like this: "Hereafter ye shall see the Son of Man," or the Son of God, "ascending, angels ascending and descending upon him." Something like that, I think, is what that scripture says. And so we think of just, you know, the importance of the what we have not seen. We think of Paul, we believe, being ushered up, he says, into the third heaven and hearing words which he could not speak. I think we need to think about the fact that angels in heaven notice what is going on down here. And that's why the Bible says they rejoice when a sinner repents. And I believe it affects my decisions. It will affect your decisions. It'll affect how you live as a Christian to consider the reality of the unseen, because otherwise we just make decisions too much based on today and what everyone else is doing or what seems okay at the moment. And to be real victorious Christians, we need to think about the reality of the unseen. Hebrews 10, verse 27 is that verse I think Brother Paul used that evening, seeing him who is invisible. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3, there the Bible, it says, it's speaking about people, and the writer, Brother Paul, says, whose names are in the book of life. Whose names are in the book of life. Now, did God show Paul that those people's names were in the book of life? We don't believe that. But somehow he had the confidence that their name was in the book of life. And he had an understanding of the reality of what we do not see. And the other thing is, I believe it will affect me as a Christian. It will help me to live a victorious Christian life if in my mind I have the understanding, you know, that my name is in the book of life. At least if I can have confidence that it is. And, you know, and the Bible also talks about that name can be blotted out. And so won't that, I think that just greatly affects us. I think we can, as true Christians, we can have this understanding that your name is written in that book of life. And there's no more better place for it to be recorded. And so it helps you. If you have to face opposition and persecution, sometimes you have to stand all alone. Well, you can just remember, my name is in the book of life, and I want to live accordingly. I don't want to live as an island or just live to be different, but I want to live to the glory of God as a victorious Christian. And those are things that to me are very, very important. You know, it was in Luke 10, Jesus sent out 70 people, and those 70 returned, and they were just so happy. They said, "Lord, even the devils are subject to us in thy name." And Jesus said, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Nevertheless, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the devils are subject to you in my name, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven." That's what Jesus said to them. And so that is something to rejoice about. If we can have that confidence, it helps us tremendously to be willing to be a witness and even speak for him. If we know and remember that our names are written in the Lamb's book of life. And so may God help us to have and to consider the reality of the unseen. It's a whole world out there of what is not seen. The angels and the glory of heaven and the Holy Spirit and the heavenlies and all those things that we should consider and think about. And then we go to the third point this evening, overcoming the enemy. There is one that is set, desiring, determined to destroy your life, my life. If you're a victorious Christian, then you can know that, you know, we don't have a scope up here this evening, but I believe that every person that's truly living a victorious Christian life, you're certainly in the crosshairs of the devil. And we're thankful that Jesus is all-powerful and there is grace available. But how can we overcome the enemy? How do we overcome the enemy? That is indeed a challenge. Tonight, as we think of the Word of God and drawing from that, we think of what the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6. He tells us there we find how important it is for us to wear an armor, to have on the whole armor of God. Not a physical armor, but a spiritual armor. And one part of that armor is the sword of the Spirit. That, the Bible tells us, is the Word of God. It would be so interesting to hear you tonight give your testimony of struggles you've had in your life and things that you've maybe struggled with that have been such a trial to you in your life and been so difficult and you tried to overcome. And how did you, with time, by the grace of God, how did you overcome the temptation, the struggle, the trial that you faced? And it would be very valuable for me to listen to your story. But I would want, being I'm here, I would want to share with you what seems to me has been, you know, the greatest help and victory for me, at least. And hopefully it can help someone here. And I would, you know, I could tell you tonight, I don't know that I won't say much about it, but there was one particular area of my life that something that I struggled with for 13 years. That it was not like I lived in total defeat, but just something I struggled with tremendously for 13 years. Sometimes it was terribly difficult, it seemed, and other times not as hard. But it was a continual weight and so difficult at times. And how was there victory to be had in that? And that is where I draw from, you know, the Word of God. And to me, it is, you know, one thing that is so important is to never ever give up seeking the Lord in your particular struggle you have and what you're facing. Pray through and search the Word of God. And there, you know, you find answers, you find direction. And I remember I could take you to the spot very easily, very, you know, in my mind, it's very clear where on that particular matter that I struggled with for so long, where that the Word of God was open to me. There were in that particular struggle I had, there were actually certain portions of the Scripture that just caused a terrible struggle for me. There were some verses in Hebrews that at that time in my life I was so fearful to even see some of those verses, you know, as I would page through the Bible. And that's very hard and sad. That's hard to say, but it was because of some of the things that it said. And it made me feel like, you know, I might be beyond hope and I might be lost forever. It was from the same book of the Bible that the Lord, you know, opened the pages of His Word. And there was victory in that particular area of struggle. And that, because of that being a reality, just to bring out that point this evening again in a very, very simple way. But this to me is just, in my heart, this is what it's been. And that wasn't the only time that happened to me. It's been different times like that. And it takes, sometimes it's brethren sharing, but to pray through and seek the Lord and don't give up. Don't give up seeking the Lord and find, take His Word. And to me, His Word, I'm going to use this bat tonight like as an example of God's Word. It's a sword of the Spirit and it is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it breaks in pieces and it is what we use to defeat the enemy. I would say tonight that particular struggle I had for 13 years was a direct attack from the enemy. It's true, I had failed. I had fallen the path. But with that, The enemy attacked me fiercely. And there were times I almost went in total defeat. But thank God that, you know, as I kept praying and seeking the Lord, there was an answer. And that has happened more than once in my life. And so I want to use this bat for you to remember. It's like the Word of God. And tonight we think of these balls right up here. There's six up here. There's some things written on those balls that the devil uses against us in our life. And we take the Word of God. And with the Word of God, those balls are hit out of the batter's mound. And the goal is to hit that ball over the fence and out of the court, that it's gone for good. Many times in our lives, we might only get it hit. We might only go to get to first base or second base. But the goal is to get it gone for good in the name of the Lord and be completely an overcomer over the things that we've struggled with and have just bound us for years and years and years, that we might truly be a victorious Christian. One thing for us to remember is, you know, for all of us here tonight as adults, we, when we get in the batter's mound, we are there alone. We have the bat, and others can encourage us and help us. But you're going to have your turn. You have your turn in the batter's mound, and you have to take the bat, and you have to swing it. You have to use it. It's you, your life. You and someone else isn't going to do it for you. And so are we just going to live in defeat? Are we going to get up and pray and use the Word of God? And I think we should be passionate about this and to be passionate about everything as it relates to God and godliness, and to really have a passion for this. One of the balls the devil throws at us, of course, is lies and deception. That was one of the balls he threw at me. And he even took the Word of God and tried to twist it to trick me up and to defeat me in my life. And, you know, it's amazing he did the same thing to Jesus. How could the devil take the Word of God and twist it to tempt Jesus? That is amazing. Thankfully, how did Jesus overcome the devil? With the Word of God. And that's what, and you take the Word of God and you have it and you take it in your heart. And with that ball of lie and deception can be hit out of the court. And sometimes tonight, and I hope we can share a poem that relates to that, you know, maybe we've struck out, you know, the devil throws the ball so fast and so hard, we've struck out on some of these things we're looking at here tonight, and we've been defeated. And I have to think of it at school, at home, the times when there was one year when I was teaching, and for the girls, we would let them have more than three strikes. And I think of all the times where the Lord, by His grace, gave me another opportunity to again take His Word and try again. And sometimes the ball is just tapped. But praise God, there's a way for it to be hit out of the court. Discouragement? I wonder how many of us here tonight, the devil is using just plain discouragement with what's happening around us, with the situation of people and places and things, that it's just, I mean, what's the use? We encourage you to take the Word of God, the reality of the unseen. There's a reason to live. And we think of how it was when David went against Goliath. You know, is there not a cause? There is a reason for you to live. You are a special person. No one else can fill your place. Don't be discouraged. Get up and hit the ball. Hit the ball, that it would be taken out of the court. Fear and doubt. Pride. Malice. Malice would have been touched on last night, possibly. I don't think we mentioned the word malice, but that's one that really needs to be hit out of the court. That's one that can be hidden in my heart, and you don't even see it, but it's there. And it just feels a little bit good when something bad happens to you, because, you know, I just something you've done, and it feels a little bit good in here. If something bad happens to you, that's malice. And it has no place in the life of a victorious Christian. And may God help us. You know, the Bible tells us no malice. And love one another with a pure heart fervently. And so we take it and hit it. And maybe you've tried to hit that ball 20 times. But just get up and do it again. Hit that ball. And get it out of the court until it's gone. Here is one we want to think about a little bit. This ball is called anger and lust. The sin of immorality. I'd actually thought of having one message on that, but be that as it may, the sin of immorality, we could say, of that sin, repent or perish. This is what God, that's how God looks on the sin of immorality. That picture on the screen is a little picture of what happened in a city, the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, when there was great immorality. And God in heaven rained down fire and brimstone. The other Sunday, yesterday, I think we considered the Dead Sea area, the lowest place on earth, fire and brimstone. And it's something we deal with. It's something that is hard to overcome. And especially, we can just well be plain for us as men. We tend to be stirred in wrong ways by sight in a moment. And it takes the grace of God and the Word of God to use the bat of God's Word to hit that ball out of the court and to be an overcomer and to be victorious. Those are things that are so, so very, very important. Maybe someone, maybe we are here tonight and we have failed miserably. The marvel, one of the marvels of all marvels, is the grace of God. Just think about King Manasseh, and I didn't read that today. And maybe we'll say more about him some other time, I don't know. But just think about King Manasseh. The things he did are just almost unimaginable. How he would offer up even his children and sacrifice, and the horrible things he did, and causing Israel to sin, and just people to sin, and just horrible things. And God, when Manasseh repented, and there was no question about whether he was repenting or not. I mean, he repented. And he was so sorry, and it was like sackcloth and ashes and sorrow before the Lord. It is amazing that God in heaven had mercy upon Manasseh. And God in heaven had mercy on Nineveh, a city that he said, go preach to them, Jonah, and he was going to destroy the city. And he had mercy on them. It is a marvel. We are thankful tonight that Jesus Christ, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valleys, is the mediator of the New Testament. And it's a message that we can claim. I could turn to that book of Hebrews and point to the scripture that spoke of a new way and where God would remove our sins and forgive our sins and our iniquities. And those things are wonderful. The Japanese have a special technique. It's called kintsugi. They take broken dishes, a picture of broken lives, and they put those dishes back together. And in those dishes, as you see on the picture on the screen, that was a broken dish put back together with lacquer, with glue, and the golden hue you see there, the gold in the cracks and in the pieces that were broken, that is powdered gold. And all I know to say is, blessed be the name of the Lord. The Japanese know how to use this special procedure to put together pieces of china and dishes that were broken in an amazing way, and even to the point that they have a beauty they didn't have before. And there is gold powder in those dishes that were put back together. And of course, it's never ever, we should not sin so we could, you know, experience kintsugi or that kind of a coming together. But it is amazing, and it's just so important. And we would not be true to the gospel of Jesus Christ if we would not tell you tonight that though your life is so broken and you've been anything but a victorious Christian, Jesus is the Redeemer, and He can do much more with your heart and your life and your soul if you're truly repentant than the Japanese can do with broken dishes. And so we read this poem. A children's race, titled The Race. Young boys, young men, how I remember well. Excitement, sure, but also fear. It wasn't hard to tell. They all lined up so full of hope, each thought to win that race or tie for first, or if not that, at least take second place. Their parents watched from off the side, each cheering for their son, and each boy hoped to show his folks that he would be the one. One boy in particular, whose dad was in the crowd, was running in the lead and thought, "My dad will be so proud." But as he speeded down the field and crossed a shallow dip, the little boy who thought he'd win lost his step and slipped. Trying hard to catch himself, his arms flew every place, and midst the laughter of the crowd, he fell flat on his face. As he fell, his hope fell too. He couldn't win it now. Humiliated, he just wished to disappear somehow. But as he fell, his dad stood up and showed his anxious face, which to the boy so clearly said, "Get up and win that race." He quickly rose, no damage done, behind a bit, that's all, and ran with all his might and mind to make up for his fall. So anxious to restore himself, to catch up and to win, his mind went faster than his legs, he slipped and fell again. He wished that he had quit before with only one disgrace. "I'm hopeless as a runner now, I shouldn't try to race." But through the laughing crowd he searched and found his father's face with a steady look that said again, "Get up and win that race." So he jumped up to try again, 10 yards behind the last. "If I'm to gain those yards," he thought, "I've got to run real fast." Exceeding everything he had, he regained 8, then 10. But trying hard to catch the lead, he slipped and fell again. Defeat, he lay there silently, a tear dropped from his eye. "There's no sense running anymore. 3 strikes, I'm out. Why try? I've lost, so what's the use," he thought. "I'll live with my disgrace." But then he thought about his dad, who soon he'd have to face. "Get up," an echo sounded low. "You haven't lost at all, for all you have to do to win is rise each time you fall." "Get up," the echo urged him on. "Get up and take your place. You were not meant for failure here. Get up and win that race." So up he rose to run once more, refusing to forfeit. And he resolved that win or lose, at least he wouldn't quit. So far behind the others now, the most he'd ever been. Still he gave it all he had and ran like he could win. 3 times he had fallen, stumbling. 3 times he rose again. Too far behind to hope to win, he still ran to the end. They cheered another boy who crossed the line and won first place. Head high and proud and happy. No falling, no disgrace. But when the fallen youngster crossed the line in last place, the crowd gave him a greater cheer for finishing the race. And even though he came in last with head bowed low, unproud, you would have thought he won the race to listen to the crowd. And to his dad he sadly said, "I didn't do so well." "To me you won," his father said. "You rose each time you fell." To me, an amazing story. And if you're that person here tonight, then just like the saying, my hat is off to you. I would hate to need to tell you how many times I fell in that path. But I thank God for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. and that He has made it possible for me to be able to tonight be able to say that as far as I know, I'm living a victorious Christian life. Not without struggles and trials and temptations, but I am happy in the Lord. Happiness is to know the Savior, having a change in my behavior. Happiness is the Lord. And so with that, we just simply, again, give an invitation to come to Jesus. Live a victorious Christian life. Be a witness unto the Lord with your life. And should there be anyone here tonight that would like to just talk with someone, pray with someone about this matter of your life, or maybe you are where I was in that 13-year period, can I just tell you, there's something comes to my mind right now. I would just like to tell you. You know, I was already an ordained minister. I was a minister. I would stand in the pulpit. And there were times I was so burdened and it was just hard to live that way. And I remember being at the Beachy Ministers meetings and pulling Brother Raymond Barkman aside and sharing my heart with him and the struggles I had. I went to that room that night. The meeting was going on. And then Brother Raymond Barkman went with me to a separate room. And in there we knelt and prayed and sought the Lord. I remember in that meeting praying for Michel that lives over in France. As far as I know, he's still living there. One that has, as far as we know, still wandered far away from God. And I remember it plainly. And so I just want you to know, if that's you tonight, and maybe you want to talk with someone and pray with someone, don't be ashamed. While we close our eyes and sing an invitation hymn, if there's anyone here tonight you would like to pray with someone, share with someone, maybe you're not living that victorious Christian life and you would like tonight to have someone share the Word of God with you in a way that you can be a victorious Christian to the praise of His glory, we'll give you that opportunity as we sing. And if you desire, you can open your eyes and make your way here to the prayer room.